Hi friends, we will start with the subject on service marketing overall under our program of rural marketing studies that we are doing. What is service marketing? You all in principle will be aware of what is service marketing. It has to do something with non-product based selling of concepts. So there are products, you consume wafers, you consume soap, detergent, they are products. But you also consume services of a financial analyst, you also consume services of income tax return payer. So these are all services. You consume services of a beautician, you consume services of a doctor, all this comes under laundry guy, all these are service provider. So service providers are also there for rural market consumers, and therefore we are now going to understand what is the service marketing aspects in the rural market. So that's the essential with which we are going to move forward. Same thing that you do for service marketing, the promotion is part of it, the advertising, the customer service, etc., also gets integrated into the service marketing concept for the rural market. Rural markets are the service primarily comprises of certain retail services, certain important services which is really required by the rural consumers today with their growing awareness and aspirations. We are not going to talk about services like a household laundry or this thing. These are the few services for which we will discuss today, starting with the financial services, banking, telecommunication, and end with the healthcare. So I am going to kind of give you an exposure about what is happening in this service, how are these services marketed in rural India. So first is the financial services. When I say financial services, is making the finance available to the rural consumers. Finance, when you say making finance available, it is by tapping the saving and then giving them, lending the money when they require. So these two aspects are dealt in this financial service marketing. In India, financial services are by the organized player as well as by the non-banking financial service providers also. So we'll get into understanding both. What we understand in rural India, microfinance, banking, insurance services is expanding. Consumers are needing these services now. They also want to protect their life. They also want to have better banking. They also want to microfinance their regular needs, etc. The financial needs of the rural consumer are linked to their lifestyle. So we are going to now understand how the savings, how the financing happens in the rural market. Rural household use both formal and informal saving instruments. These statistics indicate to you that 80% of the household prefer to have some personal, keep the cash at home or invest in the gold. Gold is the primary source of investment and saving, as they say ke bhai zarurat ke waqt kaam mein aata hai. So that's the criticality with which the savings gets done by the rural folks. So today non-gold financial options should be made available, they are being made available, and even rural people have started investing in them. So things like SIP and even those aspects are getting promoted across rural consumers, and they also are started investing into them. So that's how they generate their savings, that's how they generate a multiplier on their capital that they have, savings that they have. Two critical needs that a rural consumers have are the microfinancing and the frequent withdrawal. Microfinancing is nothing but small need of their are met by getting the finance at the required time. Second is the frequent withdrawal. They do savings, but they, at the same time they want frequent withdrawal of their savings. So they do not want to get into an instrument which will save and lock their fund. They prefer an instrument of saving which will give them the better interest, at the same time give them the power to withdraw when they need, and their need through withdrawal is more frequent. Currently, banks don't offer adequate financial services that satisfy both of the above need. Therefore, there are non-banking financial institutions have proliferated the rural and semi-urban market. Banking services, then we will see this. The banking services are essentially what you get in our urban banks. The same needs to be available to the rural consumers. But the far from reality even after 70 years was that the banking services have not reached. Even post nationalization, the banking service penetration has not happened for the rural consumers. What the statistics reveals to you is that only 7% of the Indian villages have banks, and more than 80% of the villages do not have a bank branch within 2 km radius. This being the reality, naturally the dependence on the bank was less by the rural folks. Bank not being the priority, bank is not an access to them. As a result, bank accounts were not there. Rural folks used to get money received in a different ways, including the money from the various government schemes were supposed to reach in a different way. That led to a lot of malpractices, that led to a lot of middlemen taking away a large chunk of funds that was made available to them by the government of India. All these are the pitfalls of not having an efficient banking service available to the rural folks. The earmark initiative, which our Prime Minister Mr. Narendra Modi did when he came in, was the first breakthrough initiative was the Jan Dhan Yojana. It doesn't get covered out here, but Jan Dhan Yojana has set the different benchmark for the rural consumers. Friends, you know that 1.5 crores got account open on the day one, which is a world record. Within a week of its opening, almost 1.5 crore account got opened. And today, over a period of 4 years plus, there are like almost 15 crores accounts that is opened in the rural areas for the rural individuals. And almost like, as I understand, 750 billions have been transferred under various schemes. So now you can see the power of banking that needs to reach out to the rural consumers. Every rural individuals must have banking support to make India more dependent, reliable, financial transactions being transparent, and thereby not allowing unwarranted middlemen and illicit and fraudulent practices being used by the various other individuals. That will stop if the strong banking support is lent to our rural consumers. Rural consumers are also getting IT savvy. They are also getting friendly to various supports like the bank offers in terms of cards and all. However, their needs being different, banks needed to conceptualize different types of banking services even for the rural consumers. This is all now in the evolution stage, better late than never kind of a stage we are in. And let's appreciate that banking industry is now orienting itself to become more friendly, more reachable to the rural consumers. So that being the first step, naturally the other steps will follow. The first this thing has already been ice is broken with so many accounts being opened. Now essence is to make this account trade, essence is to make this account save, essence is to make this account take credits, and thereby overall give a thrust to the banking economy and then the Indian economy at large. Good mix of public and private sector banks are now trying to reach out to the rural consumers. That's a growing sign. Non-banking financial institutions are also pillars. Cooperative banks and agriculture societies are also going to spread its presence in the rural market. Primarily, financial products are distributed through two systems, branch and non-branch delivery. Mahindra Finance, another pioneers of the non-banking financial front, have reached out their wings across rural India very well, and they offer also various branch and non-branch-based deliveries and to their consumers. Their people go with the POS machine and deal with the consumers at their house in a very effective manner. Due to limited reach and poor viability of the branch systems in rural area, large number of initiatives have taken place to reach last mile through non-branch approach. You don't really need a bank setup, yet provide certain services which can be dealt with, which can be provided in any other alternative manner. As a result, various other solutions have also started reaching our rural India, like mobile ATMs. In urban area, it is okay to have the fixed place ATMs, but for the rural market, mobile ATM is a concept being practiced by the banks and private banks. Smart cards, mobile banking, a facility being reached out to them. Intermediary like SGSG, MFSI, and post offices are playing vital role in allowing consumers to come to their premise, use the IT network provided, and do the required kind of banking or do the cash transaction as they would do in the bank, and still have the provisions of the banking facilities being made available to them at either post offices and those places. So each one is uniting to see that overall banking services are reaching to large and large rural populations. Little known facts about Indian banking network. If we have to see this urban and metro, so there are 38%, 38.8% is urban and metro. That's where the banks are. Semi-urban is like almost about 27, and rural is 34.2%. There are almost even distribution on bank branches in rural and urban. This graph gives you an idea that spread of branches looks like more an even, but however, 38% of the bank branches are non-concentrated, are concentrated in urban areas. Nearly 34% are in rural areas. There is a remarkable difference in the pattern of saving, credit taken, etc., the distribution of finance and all. That makes the imbalance in the rural banking industry. Of this 47,443 bank branches in rural areas, over 73% are constituted by regional rural banks and nationalized banks. That's another aspect that one need to look at. Both these SBI groups and nationalized banks have just over 30% of their branch in rural areas and over 40% in urban areas. Private sector bank largely caters to the urban and semi-urban market. So that is also another this thing. It is essential for private sector also to now start going towards semi-urban and rural market. So what comes out is with over 80% bank branches concentrated in these areas. So private sectors have still long way to go to the rural market. That's a current status. But I'm sure like with the growing example being set by the government of India, the nationalized bank using which Jan Dhan Yojana has become so popular, private sectors are not going to be behind, and they must be doing required aspects to reach out to their, like HDFC, I know for sure, have their various types of schemes and cards and various other programs in place, and same is like probably Axis Bank and others are following. While the proliferation of the bank branches in rural and urban areas is almost equal, the number of branches per lakh adults in rural and semi-urban is far less. Because rural population is far and widespread, each village has limited number of people, branch will be certain kilometers away. So there is a difference here. Overall, you may feel that branch distribution has evenly taken place. Branch availability per lakh adult has quite a difference. In urban area, branch availability is more, which is not the case with rural areas. This is obviously because majority of the country, that is more than 80% of our people, reside in rural and semi-urban area. According to December 2015 RBI report, while there are 18.7 bank branches per lakh of adult in urban area, there are just 7.8 branches per lakh of adults in rural and semi-urban area. So in short, less branches are available per lakh of rural population vis-à-vis urban population. This disparity needs to get corrected over a period of next decade or so, as you can say, so that more banking services are made available to the rural population, which will yield them to use alternative saving potential routes, alternative investment routes, alternative way of dealing with banks, that is digitalized transactions, credit availability, microfinance availability, and various such personal need loans, commercial need loans, etc., will reach out to them in a much better manner. Unethical practices of transfer of government funds really not reaching, that also will get abolished. So the right rural consumer will get right money for the right scheme for which is available from the government of India. So all these are some of the benefit looking at which both public non-banking and private banking industry should put in efforts to reach out to more rural consumers. Banking distribution channels in rural India. So let's understand this. The banking correspondent, that is BC model, is one of the most effective model that is now being replicated by many players to register the rural footprints. You may not have full-fledged banking presence, but there is a model called banking correspondent. So it is like you have a press correspondent who is like your press reporter or a press individual in a remote area. This is like your banking correspondent in your remote area, serving the remote market needs. Under this model, the intermediary is chosen, he is responsible to spread the banking services and get the required traction with the rural market and generate the required business for the bank. The job of this facility is to identify the borrowers, process loan applications, create awareness about various savings products and various other banking products. Correspondent handle money directly, collecting deposit, disbursing loan, accepting loan repayment and also selling mutual funds, pension. All this thing is, they are trained. When they collect, they issue a receipt, the POS system being enabled, a device is given to them. So there is a transparency, the rural consumers feel assured. They have to make them aware about by doing collective sitting either of the saving products or various other mutual funds. Explain what is mutual fund, why it is better than the share market, why it is in the long run it is beneficial. When that happens, they will come forward. For various commercial loan, personal loan, make them aware. And when they go to them proper forms and this thing, when it is done, the transaction then happens, which is directly between the bank and the rural consumers. And overall, the system benefits. Bank need not have the branch there, which requires certain specific fixed and variable costs attached to it. Here is the one individual who drives certain given territory and the area and supports the bank, supports the population to help them get the desired banking services at their doorsteps. Under this model, bank utilizes a network of intermediary as non-profit organizations and microfinance institutions, post offices, non-banking finance companies and retired bank employees also to promote and sell financial services to rural households. Recently, even petrol pump, provision stores, that is public distribution system, pharmacies and fair price shops have been included to increase the reach of the banking service and reduce the cost. These new intermediaries are not required to reach the consumer, as consumers visit them more often. So in the earlier model, we have discussed that he is the person who goes house to house or village to village, while this other system that they are trying to tap, in which footprints of the consumers are utilized. These are the places where consumers come for their selling their produce or their input needs, and that's where they are tapped to generate the traction with the banking services, and various products of the banks are being shown to them, offered to them, availed to them, made aware about. All those things are possible at this. So see, the channel is both ways, and their presence is getting deeper and deeper. Wider channels are going to reach out to consumers of the rural market, and that is going to help them get best of the banking services as they need. So this is in short a graph that lists you the banking operation distribution channels, various distribution channels. There is bank branches, which is a static, and then they do the rural and urban branch setup that they have vis-a-vis non-bank branch. So there are non-bank branches are there, BC, as we discussed, that is what urban and rural. In rural, there are three channels that they have. Business correspondence, so that's what business correspondence come here. Business facilitator model, that is that the new traction that we saw, that is petrol pump, pharmacy and those kind of things, that's where the consumers come in. Here, the guy goes to the consumers, rural consumers, and they have an electronic entire bandwidth that is getting developed, which is part of serving both rural consumers as well as urban consumers. How this electronic or the digitalization or the mobile banking is helping? It helps them with the internet banking bandwidth, phone banking, credit card, debit card system, mobile ATMs or ATM system, smart cards are given to them so that they can transact various payments, etc., and direct selling agents. So they are making and using the electronic transfer banking bandwidth that is getting generated. So rural consumers are getting support by the non-banking this thing and banking both, where there is a non-bank branch operation that gets done through the business correspondent and business facilitator model, and electronic support that is available to the rural consumers, which is even available to the urban consumers. So this is what is going to create the large penetration. This model is also going to facilitate large penetration of banking service reaching to larger rural consumers. Since the inception of the banking concept model in January 2006, the entire focus seems to have been on opening no frills account that require very low or zero balance. That is what is getting promoted. You must have seen cricketers requesting one of the, he's a support guy to open a non-banking or non-zero balance account. Idea is to make each and every rural consumers and people to have one bank account at least and then get into the entire banking system. Even before banking companies were employed, Indian banks were offering such accounts. But the speed of that opening was very less because bank needed to do various display melas, go to the rural market. That was not happening so frequently. As a result, account opening was a very slow process. This correspondent intent to critical for expanding the scope of banking service. As 4.9 million farmers household out of 89.3 million household still do not have access to credit. So you can see the criticality to reach out the banking services to larger rural population as on today for overall growth of the rural market. Only 17% out of every 100 in rural India have an access to the bank credit and 54 have a savings account. So only look at the poor coverage. In the lower income bracket, earning rupees 50,000 less every year, just about 13% have taken banking loans. So they have gone to non-banking areas, which is Jamindar or which is that, you know, Marwaris or whatever you say. Why not offer them as an Indian consumer what Indian bank offers to the other people of India? So that's with that premise, it is coming out. The disparity being very high, focus of the banks, non-banking and private banks should shift towards rural marketing consumers and build a bandwidth there. Their growth, their ability to grow and grow better is going to definitely have a positive influence in overall banking industry ecosystem, and even urban consumers will benefit out of that, which is a sure shot assumption that anybody can really derive at. In addition to the branch and non-branch delivery system ordered by the public and private sector banks also use simple to use cash dispensing and collecting machines similar to ATMs, which have open instructional vernacular language, also is getting absorbed into various digital tools that is being arranged by the banks and other pro players. Banks have also initiated credit plus services such as setting up rural training center for small enterprise, farmers clubs, knowledge centers, credit counseling centers, educating semi-urban rural population with respect to saving, availability of loan, etc., price in agriculture, minimizing the risk in agriculture. So see, it is a banking plus service also that is needed to drive your traction of rural consumers with the banks, and they finally fall into the banking service fold, which will eventually see a larger savings coming in, larger saving potential being tapped, larger investment opportunity being tapped, larger credits being taken by them for personal and farm loans and non-agri produce loans, etc. And all around the banking system will benefit due to churn in the capital that they have. Larger saving will make the more funds available for the loans and etc. So even urban consumers are going to in long term benefit out of it. Microfinance and credit services. Rural consumers need credit not only for productive purposes but also for their consumption needs. Apart from an agriculture support, rural India needs microcredit for consumption, healthcare, education and emergencies. Since lifestyles are changing so rapidly, credit is also required to buy consumer durables. Like we buy consumer durables on credit, they also want to buy to meet their aspirations. So look at, and besides that, the wedding and festivals play an important role for the rural people. That's the time also they want to spend more, for which they will need a finance. However, this access to personal loan for only consumption is very limited. Therefore, the need for the microfinance has to be evolved. Rural consumers are looking forward to it. This is possible only if the banking platform is extended to them and their reach, their traction with the banking services are better than what it is today. Larger household needs an occasionally high value. So I, as an urban consumer, maybe want to renovate my house or buy a new house or buy some consumer durables, which I otherwise can also do it on an EMI, so for which I may not go for a loan, etc. So urban consumers' loan needs are different from the rural consumers, where for smallest of the thing, they may need certain credit, certain loan available. That needs to be understood by the banking industry. Credit is availed from both formal and informal sources. He is so dependent or so helpless at times that he goes to even non-banking or a personal route for satisfying his money need. Local money lenders, traders and commission agents are the major informal source of supporting them where the banks or cooperatives are not able to do. Dependence on informal source of credit has declined from 90% in 50s to about only 40% now. So that's a good sign. But access to formal credit available is only 28% of the farmer, as formal banking is not delivered in on the expected line post nationalization. So formal this thing, informal this thing is no doubt coming down. Formal this thing reaching out to the organized farmers and all is still a long way to go. How does microfinance work in India? So let's understand microfinance. Both banks and non-banking financial corporation offer microfinance in India. Non-banking are the private players who are given right of almost equivalent to being a bank. Therefore, they are called non-banking financial companies. There are also microfinance institutions in the country. They exclusively work on dedicating microfinance services to the people. Microfinance institutions aim at getting people out of poverty and improving their financial conditions. Microfinance institutions target poor people who are unemployed, who want to be entrepreneurs and are into farming. So how does this happen? And microfinance is usually procured by loans applicants through three modules, and they include through banks, non-banking financial corporations and microfinance institutions, by establishing good relation with banks or other financial institutions, by getting together as a group with a common goal and obtain the finance to meet that common goal. So they can approach any of this, they can have a good relationship with these financial institutions also, or make a group, make a common purpose this thing and reach out to this any of the support provider and get the credit and get your needs satisfied. Different microfinance models in India. So let's have the understanding of different microfinance models in India. India has a number of institutions that offer microfinance exclusively. Each institution uses a particular model or a blend of different models in order to provide microfinance to applicants. These microfinance institutions have embraced both conventional and advanced ideas of lending in order to distribute credit evenly in the society without uneven accumulation of credit only among the rich. Microfinance, as the name suggests, that dwells on creating money for making it available to meet the credit needs of the people who need credit, etc. So it's like a larger footprint which you need to create to balance your need for money and providing the money to the needed kind of. But of course, they operate on a smaller level, so smaller amount is but regularly collected. At the same time, credit ability to give large credit is not with them, but they meet those regular credit needs of individuals, which is more generated in the rural India than the urban India. Because urban India operates on fixed income. Most of the urbanites operate on fixed income, which is not the case with the rural India, who's agri or non-agri, where there is a inequality of income. Predictability itself is not so high. So they have like one time bulk of income coming which they need to spend for various occasions. So at times they do not have a finance and therefore they depend more on getting credits. Many microfinance models in the country, and this could be because of the high number of social and cultural groups. Why this is happening? Because again, India is a very diverse country with so many cultural and subcultural and caste creed based religious and those kind of a grouping, and each group looking at some microfinancing solutions. Therefore, there are proliferations of many different models. The model could be either geographic, could be only specific demographics, etc. Most of them are non-governmental organizations that dedicated themselves to uplift the socio-economic conditions of the disadvantaged people. Word of caution is that, however, law not being so strict and vigilant about poor people in country, this thing, many microfinance institution based fraudulent these things have happened, which has which has taken away the crores of savings that these people have put in their hard-earned money. So that is one concern area linked to the microfinancing popularity in India. Five categories of microfinance are available in India: self-help group model, Grameen model, cooperative credit union model, federated self-help group model, and microfinance companies. So let's try and understand some of them appropriately. This is the first type of a model, which is a self-help group model. Let's understand that there is a money to be collected and money to be distributed for the microfinancing need. Here, self-help group is described as a group of whatever 5 to 10 people coming together. They are among the lower income group strata. Each member typically contributes fund from his own savings. So there is a certain amount that you have to commit for a certain regularity, where it will go as a pool of saving. This pool of saving is then utilized by somebody who needs a credit or the loan. So this is how they generate that microfinance support for the members. Now, to make this work really, they among themselves, they train individuals, they make them understand importance of saving, importance of credit, importance of repayment of credit, etc. So this is a critical self-help concept where the group helps each other by generating regular savings to get the pool of money. Pool of money is utilized for giving somebody who needs money, ensure of timely repayment, and overall it keeps benefiting the member. To make it work, numerous nature of training and support is needed. Many of these people are not aware of how to reach to the customers. So what this training is for, so there are many areas. This self-help group has a business proposition also attached to their program. So now to make this business proposition work, they need a lot of understanding about how the business is done, how the business is managed, how the money is to be utilized, how the money to be invested. All these aspects are covered by the self-help group by taking the required training. Training is rendered to them by specific bodies. Government bodies are there. There are NGOs are there to support them in terms of that, etc. So that is the importance of self-help group in overall microfinancing this thing. So essentially contribute fund out of their saving to pull it together, utilize to support their common goal of improving the lifestyle or make them financially secure. So they have some business purpose linked there and some objective linked for which they lend money, ensure repayment. To run them smoothly, there are a lot of training and awareness is needed, which is provided to them by the government and NGOs, etc. And overall, this as one model proliferated well across rural India. Grameen model, again a model which is entirely based on a specific village, you can literally say. And this model came out of its success in Bangladesh, as we understand. Model is a very, very micromanaged model totally. As you can see in the last para, compulsory saving over a specific period, say maybe weekly basis, are being ensured by the members. Once that is done on one end, the other end, the satisfy the microfinance need, that is a credit need of certain members. However, through a collective this thing power, ensure that the repayment also happen in time. There is no default in terms of saving and repayment. That ensures that the liquidity this thing increases over a period of long term, and that will help each member to come out of their specific need in this thing. As a result, this group member are also undergoing required training to understand how to manage funds, how to secure funds, etc. Again, that's a support provided to them by the government or NGOs. So that needs to be really understood. It's a very, very village level, closely held group based initiative. Therefore, it is known as a Grameen model. But lot of discipline in terms of the fund collection and fund utilization, repayment needs to be followed. But that happens because it's being a very closely bonded group. Therefore, each one exercises that required influence on the other. And as a result, it's successfully running across the country. cooperative credit union model. Here, organization applies to a cooperative credit model. Here, the cooperative, this thing under the Cooperative Society Act, you take that recognition, people come together and they form a cooperative to have one specific goal or this thing. This cooperative will have certain business or certain objective-led funding possibly made to the members, and these members will also be supported on one hand to collect the savings from the member, as the second hand to lend it to the right party and ensure that the repayment happens. So collectively they all get into doing a business to small loans to meet their working capital requirement or business development need, etc. And by ensuring its repayment and no default, etc., overall, and then a continuous contribution in terms of savings being invested by the members, the pool starts growing significantly, and that is going to help that cooperative society members to benefit in terms of their microfinancing need. Federated self-help group, so it's a large forum of self-help groups. So few self-help group collectively coming together to form a federated self-help group. Federation of self-help group will have around 1,000 to 2,000 members, where a single group might have, as we said earlier, 5 to 20 members. Federated self-help group model has a very interesting arrangement where there are three levels. The main and the basic level is the self-help group. So that's the ground level, that is cluster, one unit of a self-help group is a ground level. Then the middle level is a cluster. So few cluster which is surrounding or linked to each other well makes one cluster, and certain cluster coming together makes a federated self-help group. So that needs to be really understood. Microfinance companies. So now individual companies are authorized to act as a microfinance companies. It is termed as a NBFC, that is non-banking financial companies, under the Reserve Bank of India's overall act. How does this NBFC function? They engage in accumulation of the fund by proper saving scheme that they populate in the area that they serve, and on the other end they meet the finance need of the farmer, individual villagers, etc. It could be for any of this, tractor buying, agricultural produce buying, personal product buying, capital goods buying. So it could be any need of a individual for home buying, etc. They satisfy that. Non-banking finance companies can offer both regular loan as well as micro loan to the people. This can be regulated by the, again, their functioning is regulated by the RBI. They are allowed certain thing, not allowed certain thing, but practically their footprints are supposed to be at a household level, and they are supposed to serve those semi-urban and rural population by pulling in their money in terms of various savings product, putting that money to a good use by offering it to the those who need for various business needs as well as non-business personal needs, and ensuring that the repayment and all happens systematically. These companies provide a different thrust to the rural ecosystem, economic requirement of the rural India in a different level. Their footprints are far wider than what probably any banking institution can provide.